Welcome back to the BizNews Rugby Show. As always, we have our BizNews Rugby insider, Rory Steyn, and two guests joining us this week, the former Springboks, Rudy Page and Jean de Jong, as well as co-hosts of the Behind the Ruck podcast. But Rory, I think you know them a lot better than I do. Over to you.
Thank you so much, Patrick. Welcome, Jean. Welcome, Rudy. Your podcast, Behind the Ruck, has gone from strength to strength and has just grown in leaps and bounds, and I, for one, love it. I was telling Juan before you joined, Rudy, that I'm halfway through the interview with Johan van Graan, having just won the European Challenge Cup, and it's an absorbing interview. So we'll have to get him, Patrick. I was saying, Juan, they beat us to the punch this time. But, you know, there's no competition here, man. We're all South African rugby lovers and rugby fans. And if I can give Behind the Ruck a little bit of publicity on to the BizNews tribe, you know, we've got 600 and something premium subscribers. I will gladly do so, guys. So thanks so much for joining us and for having us on, man. Juan and Rudy, I'll tell you what, before we come to that, I know that, you know, everybody in the rugby fraternity knows that we lost a lion a week ago, but you two were both at the funeral of the late Cornel Hendricks, weren't you, this week? Do you want to just talk us about the emotions? I know, Rudy, he was your golf partner. You guys knew the man intimately. You know his family. Our sincere condolences from all of us at BizNews to the two of you, because it's a very personal thing. Just tell us a little bit about this emotional couple of weeks, man. We don't want to spend too much time on it, but it's important that we honor a man who was a giant amongst the rugby fraternity in South Africa.
I'll go first. Rory, it's a tough few weeks, to be totally honest. Because of the person that he was, I think everybody, he was a fantastic rugby player, a Springbok, a Blitzbok. He won a gold medal at the Commonwealth. But what I loved about him was the fact that he could make you laugh, the fact that once you were in his company, that he had the influence to make your day. He was really infectious. He was an entertainer. And honestly, just a very sad, I thought was a very sad day for his friends, his family, because I know how much love he gave to the world and he gave to everyone around him. And that for me is the part that needs to be celebrated.
Yeah, for my side, I know Pony for a very, very long time. I mean, we grew up together in Wellington, and the funny thing is we're actually 3 days apart. I'm the older one, 15 April, he's 18 April, so I always tell him, listen, yeah, I'm older than you. But yeah, we grew up since the age of, yeah, we were like 12 years old when we met each other for the first time, and we were competing actually for the same type of jersey when it came to Boland under 12, Boland under 13, Boland under 16, and all these type of things. But I mean, like I said before, you could never feel that competitiveness when it came to him. He was always funny. He was always there to, you know, enjoy the moments, and just mingle and meeting good people and having that laugh and it all about him. And, yeah, he was a special friend, even with the 7 days as well. And just the jokes and the laughters and the golf days, we're going to miss a lot. And I mean, the funeral was so special to say our final goodbyes. But yeah, condolences to the Hendricks family. I mean, it was a tough Sunday for most of us and all of us. But yeah, we're gonna miss him, yeah.
Thank you, Sean. And BizNews Tribe, the Behind the Ruck guys, Rudy and Sean, did a brilliant 14-minute tribute on their channel, Behind the Ruck, to Cornel, because he mostly wore the number 14 on his back, although he also played center for the Bulls towards the end of his career. But they contributed 14 minutes of memories, of special plays, of quite an in-depth look into the man that was Cornel Hendricks. So please go to the Behind the Ruck channel and have a look at that. It's well worth the 14 minutes of view. So with that said, Rudy and Juan, thank you very, very much again, and rest in peace, Cornel Hendricks. Our sincere condolences to your wife and family, as we've said. So Rudy and Juan, I must tell you that I, for one, you know, Juan was more my man than Rudy, because I was a Stormers fan, sorry Pagey, but you know, you guys are born a year apart, and your careers overlap. But wow, when I went on and cropped a bit there in your background, guys. You guys played all over the place, man. Wasps and Clermont, and you know, just coming through the ranks. I mean, Rudy, Lions, Bulls, and Cheetahs. You know, three of the main franchises, and then Juan, you had what, 5 years at Wasps before that whole thing crashed down. You know, would you just take 5 minutes or 2 minutes each and just tell us about your playing careers? You know, we did this with Nick Mallett, and Juan, go ahead and also speak of your coaching now career there, Boerland. Just tell us a bit about your playing journey, guys. It's wonderful for us to experience that vicariously through you guys.
Yeah. Now, from my side, I'm blessed to sit in this position and, like you said, now travel all over the world. I mean, rugby has made me seen a lot, made me do a lot. If it wasn't for rugby, I don't think I would have ever been on a plane or go overseas and stuff like that. So I'm very blessed to be in this position. Obviously, Boerland started in Wellington, played Cranbrook before I left over to Stellenbosch, where I was Western Provinces sometimes. And my career just quickly started, played Western Province on the 19 SA7s and then Currie Cup Super Rugby in a year and a half. So I was super blessed to start very quickly. Made my Springbok debut at 22 years old, still in 2010. So everything happened quickly. So I had to adapt quickly. This youngster with these big boys, like the Brian and Banners and the Jacques Fouris and the John de Villiers was super special. And then I went overseas 4.5 years at WAS, which was... It was scary at first because I was the storm was like for 10 years and I'm like, should I do it? Should I not? But I was also a guy that liked to challenge myself in a lot of things. That's why I went overseas. I was so glad that I did it. That's why I tried a little bit of sevens. I tried a little bit of something else just to test myself in a lot of skills and department. So, I must say it's been a beautiful. I mean, I've got no regrets of 17 years of 16-year career. And I'm joined now as head coach of Boerland Under 21. So it's kind of like a full circle for me now, giving back to the youngsters. And I've found a different purpose and I'm super glad to find it, actually get this purpose, especially life after rugby, because the transition is actually a tough journey.
Yeah, you're very humble, Juan, because you forgot one thing. And, you know, you were talking about Cornell's... Commonwealth gold medal, but you are an Olympian and you won a bronze medal in Rio, and I was there. I watched you guys. I was so furious with that semi-final when we lost to England. How we lost that semi-final to England, I still to this day cannot understand, you know. And we should have been playing Fiji for the gold medal, but you're an Olympian, man, and you had a medal around your neck. It's brilliant. So congratulations just for being an Olympian, Juan. Well done, man. Paige, you're up.
From a very small town in the Western Cape, I think, Rory, I was never supposed to become a Springbok. The where we come from, I think our population was about 5,000 people, zero infrastructure, but we had one rugby field. They're still standing in the town. The primary school had no facilities, no playing. But I grew up with a love for rugby, unconditional love for competing. I think it's the fact that I was small. I just love to compete. And that is my career in a nutshell, I think. I went on to Tiniqua. Unfortunately, I had to leave my matric year because I got a opportunity at the Lions that they spotted me in the Academy Week. And I made a brave decision to get onto the plane and go to the big lights in Johannesburg, where I actually find it really enjoyable. I thought the Lions junior structure playing for University of Johannesburg, Varsity Cup. I think Loffy got me in as a 19-year-old in a Currie Cup squad. And I got to represent SA Schools as a captain in 2007. Captain the Lions Cravenweek side also 2007 and made my under-19 debut in the same year as a matriculant. And I enjoyed the way that Lions played the rugby. Got a serious injury in 2010, to all three hamstrings off completely of the bone. That had to get repaired under surgical, and I was out for 11, almost 12 months. And came back, made my Currie Cup debut, and made my pass at the Lions kind of stopped because they didn't see me as the same player anymore. I lost a bit of pace because of my surgery. I think there was also doubt in my ability at the time post-surgery. And the Bulls gave me an opportunity and 6.5 years playing for Pretoria that I never thought I would enjoy box kicks, playing 10-man rugby, forward dominant, so much in playing with so many instructions. But eventually, I think I adapted really well. And I would have never wanted to leave the Bulls, sorry, to be totally honest. It's a place that made me happy. I still love them now, post-rugby. And got to play in Clermont. My best time I had was in Japan with the Sunwolves as a more senior player, and a leadership role. And COVID came and took a lot of joy from me, unfortunately. And I think that for me was the happiest I've been in my rugby, playing in Japan. Just the way they treated you, the way they appreciated your knowledge, and the way they accommodated my family. So that is my career in a nutshell. A lot of obstacles, a lot of difficulties, not always easy, but I think I've showcased a lot of perseverance to be able to play 13 test matches, going to a World Cup, over 60 Super Rugby caps, played over 170 professional matches. And I think that is what I'm really proud of, to have persevered through difficult and obviously great times there as well. Sorry, that was long.
No, that's fine, man. I have a couple of comments on that. The first comment is the obvious one. So playing in Japan must have felt lekker, because you weren't the smallest oak, eh?
Look, it was amazing. I could shop in, everything fitted perfectly well. I wasn't standing in front at the team photos anymore. There were shorter guys than me. So it was brilliant.
No, well done, Pagey, man. I forgot about that Sunwolves stint of yours when I was doing your introduction, because it's such, both of you, such a varied career. And, you know, we only remember, that's the problem with our South, we're getting better now with South African viewing, because we're getting used to the URC and used to the European Championships. But we only remember you guys as, you know, as, well, in your case, really, you were all three Bulls, Lions and Cheetahs. And Juan was always Province, Martis, Province, and then Stormers. But Paige, the other thing I wanted to say was, you know, I've never spoken to the man, but when I watch young Imbros Papier playing now for the Bulls, I see you, man. I don't know whether he sees you as a mentor, if you input it into his play, but how that boy can play, man. And it's great to see him getting a chance there, with the Bokke.
Look, Rory, I wish I had his pace. Let me put that out there first. His ability to accelerate us next level. So I think he's a little bit better than what I was, if I'm completely honest.
Ah, he's humble.
You're very humble, Pagey. Yeah, I loved watching both of you play. Tell me quickly, you must have played together for the Box, because you've got, what, 19 caps, 16 caps each. Did you play together ever?
Yeah, so we played a couple of tests together. I mean, the one that kind of stood out to me was the one in Australia against Loftus, I think. Oh, but you got injured early on. But yeah, I think there was like two or three tests that we connected and some games, yeah.
Excellent. And then the last question before we come to the predictions. I noticed, Rudy, when I was doing my homework, that you went to Bastion High School. Now, is that down in the Western Cape, or is it the Bastion that I know down the road here in Roodepoort?
That is the one in Roodepoort. So I went to Witwicky in my matric year.
Okay.
Yes, they placed me at Bastion, where I cried for the first 3 months. Rory, really difficult.
I can believe it.
But yeah,
in the so process. That was
really, no, they didn't have a course, so they placed us with the family.
Okay, so you were billeted.
So we got placed with the family, and I can still say proudly, I think our team is the last Bastion team that got to beat Monas in 2007. So a random fact there, but very proud of that fact.
Was Willem Albertsen Monas at that stage? Did you play against the Bone Collector? Or
luckily
did he come
not.
After you?
No, he okay. left.
Yeah, true.
Luckily not.
No, true story. No, luckily not. Okay, so guys, now we're going to come to our quarterfinals. And now, Juan, you and me are no longer friends. because your Stormers are coming to my Glasgow Warriors in Scotstoun, man. And that's going to be it's a repeat of the quarterfinal earlier this season, or last season actually. And I find this one hard to call. You know, you must obviously favor the home team with home weather conditions, but the Stormers' form is good. How do you see this, Juan?
Yeah, the Stormers' form is good at the moment. I mean, Glasgow has struggled a little bit the past couple of weeks, but also saying they beat us here in Stellenbosch, which was just nice, and even the quarterfinal last year as well. We do have a little bit of a setback with Damian Willemsen not playing this weekend. Obviously banned for a couple of weeks. But yeah, then you've also got your favorite Sunback, Sione Tupulotu, that's also in the centers this weekend. But obviously, Hugh Jones is not playing as well. So it's going to be a tough one. I don't like the time. That 25 minutes to 9 is a bit, you know, it's a bit late for us in terms of, you know, this last year as well in the quarterfinals, that late night game. Dewey. Hopefully the weather conditions is not too bad. But a very interesting one. Looking at the Stormers lineup as well. I mean, we still have a good set piece and we can dominate in certain areas. We know that Glasgow will run the ball around a little bit and trying to move them around the park. We can do the same. I mean, Sasha's starting at fly off this weekend. And then we got Marnie Lebok coming off like the bomb squad. Him and Herschel coming off the bench. So it's going to make it a very interesting encounter. But I still back my boys. It might be in the last 5 minutes, but I back the Stormers boys to put one over.
No, good for you, Juan. And of course, you must, as must I. So I see this very close. I see this between not more than 5 points either way. I'm going to back the weather and the home ground advantage, but I must tell you, I'm very, very concerned because the Stormers went there last season, lost the game, and so they know what they have to fix. So it's gonna be close. I'm gonna go with my boys, but Juan, we're gonna shake hands after the match, my friend.
Yes.
And one of us is gonna be happy,
but we'll see.
Netsua. No, thank you so much, and all the best to your boykies. Glasgow is a wonderful city to visit. The Scots are wonderful hosts. The teams eat together up in the hospitality suite straight after the game. They make like a warm course there and the boys eat together. It's good to see rugby's ethos persevering like that. And of course, you know, there's quite a lot of South Africans, Franco, and quite a few of the boys. In fact, there's a Monas boy playing for Glasgow Warriors, Nathan Macbeth. You would never say so if you think of a name, Nathan Macbeth, but he's a Monas boy. So yeah, all the best there, Juan, man. We'll be holding thumbs for our teams respectively. Where do we go next on Saturday? There's three games coming, Patrick. Oh, Rudy, over to you, man. Over to you, Rudy Page.
Look, I'm probably going to sound very overconfident in this one. Just because I truly, even though we've lost Goose on fly-off, Johan Goosen, I just think our set piece, the Bull set piece, is too strong. Wilco Lowe has been one of the players of the tournament so far. His ability to generate scrum penalties is excellent. And I think with the respect and how the Bulls were hurting with the loss of Cornel Hendricks, that they will have external motivation as well to put on a good performance. I've been... Look, Rory, on our show, I said the Bulls will be too strong by 15. And I really just think 1:30 kickoff at Loftus for, and Jake will understand the importance of winning this. I think that for me is what stands out. They've had a week off to prepare. So I'm going to go Bulls by 15 for the reasons the Bulls set piece will just be too strong. And that pack of that loose forwards, Kutsia, Hanekom, and they're going to have a massive effect on the game. Van Staten, Eskom. So those factors for me just believe the Bulls will be too strong at home this Saturday.
I have to agree with you, Rudy. And you know, I almost feel sorry for Edinburgh because they are coming now almost in the wake of Glasgow having come and won there. Now you send another Scottish team there and the Bulls are almost saying, we're waiting for you. They've got that external motivation of Cornell 14, as you've said. And it's going to be Wilco Lowe against Pierre Schoeman, which will be a good, but Wilco Lowe has got to be the best scrummaging tight head in the world at the moment. I mean, the only one who can match him is Quadzilla, old Thomas Achnahi is Quadzilla. I mean, Thomas the Tank there at Bath playing with Finn Russell. I mean, that's, you know, that's probably the second best scrummaging tight head at the moment since France's injury. So I actually feel a bit sorry for Edinburgh, and I think the Bulls are going to win easily by 15 to 20 points. I'm with you there, Rudy.
I fully agree.
And that's a 1:30 kickoff, as you said. And then we come to a 4 p.m. Yeah, there it is, a 4 p.m. kickoff. And I don't know how you boys see this, but I cannot see the Scarlets doing what Northampton Saints did. You know, this is a tough one. These Oaks are also hurting, guys. The Irish.
All in the same boat, yeah. It's an easy lens. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's always tough, especially for Scarlets as well. I mean, they fought their way just to qualify as well, which is actually good to see. I mean, they had to qualify against good teams like Benetton and a few of the others. For them to be a Wales team that's been struggling in the Six Nations, that's been struggling overall, it's good to see they you know, competing in this competition. But Leinster with those, you know, with Ireland, is basically Ireland, and, you know, Jordy Barrett and a few of the other boys, just it's going to be too strong.
I think so. Rudy, do you see the same?
No, obviously Leinster dominating, but for me, just it will be interesting to see how Leinster handle the pressure in this URC knockout phases now, with them having fallen short regularly over the past 3 years. What would they look like once a team plays well against them? What type of reaction they will give out on the pitch? So I obviously in this game, I'll go for them by 20. I think they'll be way too good for Scarlets. But moving on to the semi-finals and the finals, if they make it, just seeing once they're under pressure, how are they handling it? Because now in the past 3 years, they haven't done well. Once a team plays well against them and shouldn't beat them.
You're so right. And you know, I mean, the Irish media have picked over that selection of the, you know, the Investec Champions Cup squad versus the URC squad over and over. So, I mean, that's been done to death. But at least Leinster now only have the URC to focus on. And it's almost as if they can't lose, because if they do, then that choker's tag is going to grow as strong as, you know, a certain cricket team's choker's tag. They almost have to keep winning. And if they beat the Scarlets, and we expect them to, I'm also quite comfortable with 20 points plus, as straight away that pressure comes on. And, it's going to be us, Juan. Whoever wins in Scotstoun has got to go to Dublin to play those Oaks. And then the pressure comes straight back onto Leinster. You're so right, Rudy. So they really have got to step up, because if they don't, they're going to be known as chokers. And they've done that pretty well over the past few years. 4 years, I think. They've lost URC finals, and they've lost Investec or Heineken Cup finals. They really do need to win this blooming thing. And I hope they don't, of course, because I really don't have many Ojara for Leinster, I must tell you, Oaks. And then I think we've got an 18:30 kickoff now, Patrick. This is a good game, eh, guys?
I think this might be the game of the weekend.
I think so.
100%, yeah. And from my side, I must say, Sharks is actually, looking at the last performance as well this couple of weeks ago, struggling a little bit in terms of how they want to play and how they're playing at the moment. And if you look at the, you know, the names on that sheet, it's Springboks. It's a green and gold team. There's names everywhere. But yeah, that's why I said Munster, you know, the week off from the Investec Championship final actually gave a lot of these teams a bit of a, not confidence, but it gave them a little bit of that relief of terms of they got an extra week to prepare and stuff like that, especially Munster, Edinburgh, and these boys. But Munster has been looking good this past couple of games. They had a good couple of good victories. They got a couple of good players. They're going to play for a couple of these boys that's calling it a day, like Connor Murray, Peter Mahoney, Omani as well. But for me, I said as well, I think it's going to be a close game, one that's going to go a nail biter till the end. So I'm gonna go actually with Munster with this one. I know it sounds a bit weird, but I said Munster plus 3. What they're playing for, their why. You know, if you look at Takir Abrams from the back, they've got Casey as well. So much names everywhere. Tide Byrne, quality players, John Klein there as well. So it's going to be, like we said, it's going to be the game of the weekend. But yeah, I'm just prepping Munster to take this one, especially traveling so well, even the past couple of URC campaigns.
So, Paige, your partner's being very brave here, and he's put his neck out. I like that. No sitting on the fence with Juan de Jong there. Paige, what do you see here, Bud?
I'm going to go with the Sox. I know they've been very inconsistent in the way they play. They've won ugly, which is also a good trait. Which is also a really good trait to have as a team to win when you're not playing well. For me, the critical part where the game will be decided is Connor Murray is the best kicking scrum half in the world. The ball will be very slippery in Durban. So I am assuming Munster is going to go to a kick suffocate game where I think they can win. That to me is the tricky part because Connor Murray is so good at the box kick area. But for me, the X factor of the Sharks, they just have too many really good Springboks that is in their team. And they're bound to play good. They've had four. They've won two in Scotland or two games on tour. They've come home. They've been iffy. And I believe Sia, even their leadership group is too good not for them to win at home. So that is why I'm going with them. I believe the experience in their team will play a big factor in why they will win this match. So I'm going to go Sharks by 5 to 8 points in this game.
You know, Rudy, this is the only team that I like less than the Bulls, the Sharks. But if you are a Sharks fan, you've got to be the most frustrated human being alive on planet rugby because they have been blowing hot and cold. They lose to almost a C team of Leinster at home in Durban, but they're in third on the URC table. How the heck did they manage to end third? And you said it, Rudy. They knew they somehow find a way to win ugly, and you know now they're the shark box. It's going to be Eben Etzebeth up against Jean Klein. You know, his Springbok lock partner. I don't think there'll be any quarter asked or given, but they'll shake hands and have a beer afterwards. So I can. The only reason I'm going with the Sharks by a very few points, no more than three, is because they are a very good playoff team. We saw that last year when they won the EPCR. They also came from nowhere, very indifferent. In fact, an even worse season. And they somehow came and pulled it through at the end there. So it's only on that basis that I'm going to go Sharks. But I think Munster are coming with it's now or never, it's do or die for Omani and for Connor Murray and for their prop, whose name I keep forgetting, man. He's got 100 plus games for Munster, and he's also finishing. We mustn't forget that he's also a legend. Yeah, is his name Mitchell, Jean? Can you remember?
Archer. It's his surname.
Archer. Now. That's him. Archer. Thank you. I knew there was a CH in there. Thank you very, very much. So, yeah, this one could also, it could go the way of Juan de Jong, yeah, and Munster could come and pull. And remember, when Munster won the URC 2 years ago, they won on the road. They won, yeah, and they beat the Stormers in the final. No one expected that. And they'll come with travelling support. They really do have a very passionate travelling support base. So they'll be there with their red shirts in the Shark Tank. So lekker weekend to look forward to, gents. And may I just say how lekker it's been to chat to you both, men. And I truly appreciate it. We'll talk maybe when Glasgow Warriors are down there. I would love to reciprocate, guys, but I just want to thank you and I want to wish you everything of the best for Behind the Ruck. Keep doing what you're doing, and thank you for your contribution this evening. BizNews Tribe, have a lekker weekend of quarterfinal URC rugby. There's so much to play for. Three South African teams in the mix, in the running. One game Friday night, three games Saturday, RV. Lekker. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Rudy. Thanks, Juan.